Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast affectionately known as Canes Cast with Michael Smith, the web editor, web content producer, photographer, and all-around jovial human being. I'm Mike Maniscalco.
I think my title changes every podcast.
Pretty much.
It's like a game of roulette. Like, what is my title going to be this week?
I like to keep you guessing. I mean, if you want to go by the same standard boring title.
Well, no,
I mean,
that's fine.
I do. I'm the TV and web host. So.
True. Yes.
I'm fine with that.
Smiling face.
No.
No.
Well, it depends on what picture. I like that. I'm sorry that I'm concentrating on questions that I'm asking.
Right.
And I honestly blame, I will not say his name, but it rhymes with Coop Elias, who always finds a way to take the one picture where I'm, you know, either deep in thought or thinking about something else.
No,
and that's the one he posts.
But see, yesterday it was the complete opposite, because when we were talking to Justin Williams, he captured a picture where you are smiling very jovially, and I am either deep in thought or just not happy to be there. And it wasn't the latter.
Oh, you were very happy to be there.
Yeah,
we were all happy to
be there.
Talking to Justin Williams.
He was very kind, very pleasant. Will be fun to have around this year for sure.
And then there was another photo where you'll find out maybe the angst on my face is I know the audio quality of our interview with Justin Williams is not up to what we expect to be on Canes Cast, my friend.
We'll work on it. You know, he was the first guest, and it was sort of a trial run. But yeah, we'll get there. We're in Chuck's studio now.
Proud noise only.
And this interview was conducted in the locker room where we did his media availability. That's later. But first, some other news about the Hurricanes and Jacob Slavin, who signed a 7-year extension with the team. So he's secured for 8 more years. Obviously the last year of his entry level deal plus 7 more years. That's 8 years of a very good young American defenseman.
Absolutely. And he will be here, as you mentioned, for 8 seasons, and he's only going to get better. And to get him locked up, Michael, to that kind of deal before you go into the season, I like it because I'm always the preemptive. I want to set the market. Don't let the market get set for me. And that's why people have kind of known we not only call this the Canes Cast, but it's episode 5. We've kind of gone into a Star Wars thing.
Right.
This is the off-season strikes back.
Right.
And that's what's going on for the Carolina Hurricanes. They're striking back after having some quiet off-seasons. Now they're making a lot of noise. And I love this Slavin move because not only do you get him to what I think is a good deal monetarily for a young defenseman.
Yeah, 5.3 average annual value.
I love the term. And I think that Jacob Slavin is one of these players where we've just seen the tip of the iceberg of how good he's going to be. I think we're going to see a next level this upcoming season. More offense comes out of Jacob Slavin. You're going to see all that. And there's one other thing, Michael. You know it. I know it from covering him. And we'll let everybody in who's listening to the Canes Cast right now. He is the one guy that I can point to in the entire NHL where I can say money's not going to change him.
No, not at all.
He is not going to be, oh, I have gotten my paycheck now. He will be the same guy. That's why I love this deal for the Hurricanes.
And Ron Francis mentioned that, too, when the press conference last week, saying that they were comfortable doing this deal for a number of reasons, and one of which was because the contract, no matter how long or how large in terms of money it was, wasn't going to change Jacob Slavin the person. And the Hurricanes really like Jacob Slavin the person, and they want him to remain himself, and this contract isn't going to change that. They also love Jacob Slavin the player. And they get 8 more years of that in locking them up to a long-term deal. You talked about it. It's being proactive rather than reactive. They're sort of saying, okay, this is what we feel comfortable doing, and Ron Francis mentioned it. The best type of deal is one where the club maybe feels like they paid a little over what maybe they usually would, and the player maybe feels like they left a little more on the table than they usually would. It's a deal that works and makes sense for both sides, and I think you look 3-4 years down the road and this is going to look like an absolute steal of a contract.
Well, I love the fact that it gets done now instead of going into the season and having to worry about getting 5 contracts done that are all restricted free agent contracts that you've got to make sure are set, and that you figure out a way to get these guys all in under the same amount of money, which would be tough, which we'll get into in just a second. But I kind of tip my hat on this. I like to set the market. I like teams that go out there and say, we're not going to wait for our player to be the comparison, or we'll wait for the measuring stick from this team or that team or this player. The Canes went out and said it. Do you like that, or do you kind of like to play it a little bit slower, Michael? If I'm putting you in the general manager's shoes,
yeah.
Would you rather have somebody else set the market for a player and you can work off of what they've done?
I mean, I guess both situations would work. I mean, depending on what player it is.
There's more than one way to get the job done.
Right. But I like the moves the Hurricanes did this offseason in, obviously, the Slavin deal sort of setting that market for what a young, budding defensive star is going to make over the next 5 to 10 years in his contract. They also sort of did it with Scott Darling and, you know, signing or trading for his rights and then signing him to a longer-term deal. And then the Stars, the Dallas Stars, do the same thing with Ben Bishop, and I have to think Bishop and his agent look at Darling's contract and say, okay, well, this he's yeah. making X amount. Bishop's been a starter in the NHL, so he's going to sort of set the bar a little higher. The Hurricanes were able to jump in front of that and say, okay, this is what we feel is fair market value for a starting goaltender, and then everything else sort of works off of that. So I think the Hurricanes have been smart monetarily this summer in the deals that they have made, both with Scott, really any deal they've made, I think has been smart for them, both in the short term and in the long term, because the long term is important to consider as we head into next season, because Jacob Slavin was one of the players who was going to need a new contract. You also look at guys like Brett Pesce and Noah Hanifin, both also good young American defensemen who are going to be due contracts.
Well, I was going to say, that's the next thing, which, remember, we're not told anything and we don't know anything. That's
correct.
Been made abundantly clear in the previous four episodes here of this podcast with Michael Smith and Mike Maniscalco here. But two young defensemen who are going to be restricted free agents at the end of next season, their deals are coming up. Do we think that there's going to be another press conference? And again, this is just Michael and I talking. I wouldn't be surprised if there's one more press conference before the start of training camp announcing one of the four restricted free agents heading into next year gets a deal done. Those guys are Brett Pesce, Elias Lindholm, Noah Hanifin, and Joakim Nordstrom. They're all RFAs heading into next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to lean towards no, just based on Ron Francis's answer to the question of, you know, if this is a topic he's exploring with other players. And he said,
it's a good question asked by a very solid, solid contributor to the Canes cast.
And that wasn't me. And and his answer was, you know, they're having conversations. He didn't want to name names or anything.
Yeah.
Some said they would get back soon. Some said they might wait and feel it out for a bit. So the conversations are at least being explored. We're not really sure how far along they are in any case. I wouldn't be surprised if one got done before we got to next summer, next offseason. But at the same time, if the timing isn't right, if the term isn't right, if the dollar amount's not right, then I think both sides, in any case, are comfortable waiting it out and seeing how things play out this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is no – that's the thing with restricted free agency. There is no rush to run out and get a deal done,
right?
Other than you don't want to let somebody else try to set the market or set the bar, and now you've got to try to throw money at players that you have under control. So I think the Hurricanes they've set the market for these players too. Mm-hmm. We know where Jacob Slavin lines up, and then I think everybody falls in underneath that. And it'll be interesting to see how these contracts play out. And I'm also going to be interested to see how Brett Pesce, Noah Hanifin play this year. You know, Noah Hanifin ready to take another step forward. Same thing with Brett Pesce. I mean, we forget that Brett Pesce and Jacob Slavin really are only in their second and a half season with the Carolina Hurricanes. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it's been a great offseason so far for the Carolina Hurricanes and Ron Francis. And remember, he said he had if he had a box and things that he wanted to check off, he's ticked off almost every box, or checked off. Ticked off, I know, has a different connotation for people. But he has checked off and put a mark in starting goalie, get some young players locked up, go out and address the bottom pairing of the defense, go out and address, hey, we've lost some guys on the bottom six. They went out and got a scorer in Justin Williams. Really, the only thing that is still out there, and we've talked about it, is a number one center, but they don't grow on trees, and they're not given away for free.
That'd be nice.
You know, it would be lovely if you could get to that point.
And you, a name going back backtracking just a bit, but Elias Lindholm, you mentioned being a restricted free agent this upcoming season. Another chance for him, too, to take that next step, because coming off of his entry-level contract, he was given a two-year deal, sort of a bridge deal, as we talk about. And now it's his opportunity to take that next step and work his way into perhaps a longer-term contract as a player who is seen as maybe a forward that the Hurricanes would like to have around for a number of years. He's got to step up this year and contribute offensively and defensively and show, you know, why he deserves X amount of money for Y amount of years.
No, that'll be interesting. I think Elias Lindholm's contract situation will be an interesting one. I'd like to see him pick up where he left off from the NHL season and also what we saw in the World Championships where Sweden won the gold medal.
And he'll be bringing the number that he wore in the World Championships to the Hurricanes next year, number 28. Marcus Kruger coming in. He was 16 with the Blackhawks. Yep. He's going to retain 16 with the Hurricanes.
Justin Williams going to wear number 14.
Correct. Jordan Staal keeping 11. Williams did say, well, I guess it's in our interview.
It is in our interview.
We'll get to it shortly. But Williams going to keep 14, which he wore in L.A. Did he wear it in Washington too?
Yes, he did.
So a familiar number for him available here. And Elias Lindholm switching to 28, which he's worn before in the World Championship. And it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it was all right for him. I don't think he's got a problem with it. And yeah, he helps out a fellow countryman who likes to wear number 16. So we're all set.
Yeah.
Any other number changes that we want to get over?
Oh, there's plenty.
Ryan is going to wear number 7.
Yeah, he drops down to a single digit.
Going Mickey Mantle for those who want to cross over in sports.
And Scott Darling taking Ryan's 33, which he wore for the past couple of seasons. I think there's some other new ones. They're out there. They're on the website.
I know.
CarolinaHurricanes.com.
You should go to CarolinaHurricanes.com as much as humanly possible and read all of the great things that webmaster extraordinaire Michael Smith puts out there. All right, so if you and I were going to trade for a jersey.
Ooh.
All right, let's go into this. You're the established vet. You've worn your number.
What's
my
number?
I'm a younger guy. Whatever your number is, I'm wearing
it. Okay.
Well, what's the number that you wear?
Oh, okay, I have to say.
You don't have to, but
well,
you said it. I figured we might as well just continue the exercise.
I've worn a number of numbers, but the one I wear currently in ball hockey is 25.
All right, so I'm wearing 25.
Yeah.
You want it.
Okay.
What's your offer to me?
Lunch at Ruben's.
Ooh.
In Montreal.
Oh.
And dinner at a city of your dinner in a city of your choice.
Well, we are going to Vegas this year.
So, In-N-Out maybe.
dinner at an In-N-Out in a city of my choice. We might need to beef up that offer a little bit if I really like 25.
We can talk off the microphone.
Okay. I was going to say, because if you had one of my numbers, 19 would probably be the number that I would roll with if I was a forward defenseman, probably 8, if that's the case. So
yeah,
you have those numbers. I mean, first off, I'll get you a definite gift card to In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
Like, that's the jumping off point.
Yeah.
And when I say gift card, you can use it multiple times. It's
right.
Not for one visit.
Right.
You got a dog. I'd offer to walk the dog.
Oh, I like
that's
that.
That's going to happen. Some dog
Maybe
walking.
Some dog sitting, too,
yeah,
while
some
I'm
dog
out of town.
Sitting while you're gone.
Yep.
Done, free of charge.
That's solid.
And, you know, you got to mow your lawn, right? I would provide a lawn care service for a month for you.
That's excellent. Make it 2 months, and we got a deal.
Well, I'm just saying, this is where we're at. Well, then
right.
If that's the case, then we're going to just, I'll just not going to walk the dog, just a little
and
dog sitting.
Just
make dog sure the dog's
no
okay.
Walking. Okay, well. You know, our agents will get together and discuss.
Well, people will talk.
Yeah.
The Ruben's pull is very strong.
Yeah.
That's a fine restaurant in Montreal for people who get to go there. Well, speaking of trying to get your jersey number back or coming back to familiar places or enjoying places on the road, Michael and I had a chance to catch up with Justin Williams, who, if you'll listen, you'll understand why this guy performed so well in Game 7 because of his demeanor, because of his attitude. And here's our conversation with Justin Williams.
Well, Michael, I couldn't think of a better way to have our first guest here on the podcast than newly reacquired, back in his place where he won his first Stanley Cup, Justin Williams. Justin, first off, thanks for joining us. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Oh, it's a long introduction and a very short answer. It's why we love Justin. To that end, Justin, I mean, there's so many places that, you know, we heard you were offered to go. They were interested in you, but does Carolina make just so much sense because of the memories here? We've heard you answer a lot of this, but the memories you have here and a chance to come back to a team that's really on the rise, getting ready to get to that next level.
Yeah, there's boxes you check when you go through this process of you know, family comfort, role on team, direction of team, city, familiarity. There's so many of them, and Raleigh just check. They seem to check all of them, and that's certainly important for a guy who left here without any kids. Well, had one kid who was only a couple months old, but now has come back with a wife and two kids and a family now. So putting all that aside, the hockey team is the exciting thing, and I'm really excited to be a part of it and really excited to get things going.
How is this free agency process different than a couple years back when you were in Los Angeles? How did it differ? Was any of it the same? Were the decisions any easier?
As strange as it is, 2 years later from free agency, there seemed to be a lot more traffic than there was before. So I guess that means I'm doing something right. So, I mean, it's a very humbling process, people coming and checking and seeing your interest level and if you want to come here, if you want to come there. So it's a process, and it can be stressful at times, but it's usually only stressful if no one's calling, and so it was a good thing that the phone was ringing a bit, and I'm happy where I ended up.
Looking back a little bit, the team celebrating its 20th anniversary season this year, and we're standing here in the locker room, and there are a bunch of pictures displayed on the wall, and you're in a few of them. Looking back to that championship year, was there a moment where you sort of looked around the room, either in the room, on the ice, where you said, okay, we might have something here?
I think throughout any championship team, it's never really there in front of you until you see it on the ice mm-hmm. and see how the team can succeed and see how the team plays with each other. You know, the last couple of years in Washington, we were, you know, if we weren't the Cup favorite, we were, you know, maybe second or third. So it was frustrating leaving that team, not having reached the ultimate goal, what I wanted.
Right.
But here, I mean, there's a lot of great memories and things that I'll have for better for forever. But I want to make some new ones as well, and that's why I'm here.
Speaking of that, is that one of the things playing against this team the way you did for the last 2 years? You might know how much better this team is maybe than all of the so-called pundits, because you've been on the ice against these guys, you know, 4 to 5 times a season.
Yeah, I think for the most part when you know, you tell people, hey, I'm going back to Carolina, people are like, why would you go back to that team? And those are the outsiders. Those are the people who don't really know what they're talking about. And when you talk to people within the hockey circles, NHL players who've played against the Hurricanes in recent years know exactly what I'm talking about. And I like this team. I like the direction it's going. I like my role on this team. And you never certainly want to come in here and guarantee anything. You just want to let the play do the speaking for itself and be proud of what you've put forth.
Who put on the harder sell for you, Rod Brind'Amour or Ron Francis, to get you to come back?
They're both friends and guys that I'm going to really enjoy working with, but I don't think you don't need to put a hard sell on it. If you need to put a hard sell on it, then it might not be for you. You just you put the information in front of you and you make a decision. It was always a place that I wanted to come, and I'm glad that those guys are in the situations that they are, because I'll be able to help out as well.
All right, is it going to be weird that Roddy's now coaching you, or you've been through this before with this organization with Ron Francis? Ron was a teammate of yours for about a month. Then he became an assistant coach here when you were a player, so this is old hat. You don't have to worry about that dynamic.
No, The NHL kind of comes full circle sometimes, especially if you've played a while. And you know, a lot of my friends are now suddenly coaches and GMs and running teams now. So it's fun. It introduces a new dynamic to the relationship, absolutely. But I think it'll only make it stronger.
We're here, I guess, in July now, sort of the slow time of the off season. How much are you looking forward to getting back on the ice, I guess, in late August, early September?
I'm really looking forward to it because that means less time in the gym. And I'd much rather be playing hockey than doing jump squats and getting ready for it. So that's the thing. I mean, you try to heal up during the summer. and I'm not all healed up now. And the trick is certainly at any age, but certainly at my age, you don't want to let yourself get out of shape and try to get back into shape. That's the worst thing you can do. So you want to stay in shape and slowly build yourself up.
You're not that old. Don't tell me that you're that old right now, Justin. You're not.
No, I'm just older on this team. That's all.
That being said, how important is it just to be you? I mean, you've talked about it. You come into this locker room. You've been here before, but not with this team. Mm-hmm. You're not going to come in here and try to be, you know, a guy that you're not. How important is that, especially in this league? I'm Justin Williams, and this is what everybody knows they're getting. I don't need to change who I am or what I do to be a part of this team.
No, that's exactly. I mean, you said it. I'm gonna be me. So far, it's been enough on the teams that I've been on, and I've been able to be successful and help my teams be successful. And the trick is not to change who you are. And you change who you are, then you change the guy that everyone wanted here in the first place. So I'm here to be me. Have fun. At a lot of times, be serious when I need to be, and help this team as best I can.
All right. So there's already a trade between teammates this year. Numbers got swapped between Scott Darling and Derek Ryan. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are, as you mentioned, a little bit older, not that much old. Do you, like, come in here and say, I get my old locker back, or are we talking maybe deals for numbers with anybody here, or what goes on now that you're in the locker room looking around? Like, that's your home. I mean, that's where you immediately go to, right? You got to go to the same stall.
I might. I told Jordy I'd arm wrestle him for my number, but I probably wouldn't win that one. So he's going to stick with number 11. I'm going to go back to 14. I'm glad it's available. One of my old friends, Kevin Adams, used to wear that. So I think there was another change, too. I think Kruger is taking 16 as well. So it's a lot of change. And there might be some dinners bought on the road because of it.
Are there still the memories when you walk through? Like, are there certain places you go and it takes you back in time? The memories are that fresh, especially. Absolutely. This is where you became Mr. Game 7.
No, I walked in to the arena out here, and I was walking by, took a step, and then went back and just stood in the arena and for a little bit. And there's a lot of great memories, but there'll be plenty of time to reflect when I'm done playing. And for the time being, as I said, I want to make some new ones.
Hopefully it's not for a very long time that you get to reflect on those memories. Great to have you here. Smitty, I don't know how you feel about it, but I agree with everybody who said it's been the best free agent signing of the summer and clearly the best podcast guest we've ever had.
Yep, bar none.
Woo-hoo!
All right, let's keep it going then. We'll do it another time.
What a guy.
Absolutely. What strikes you the most about Justin Williams? Because I covered him a little bit before, for about a season and a half, give or take, when I first got here. And the thing that amazes me about Justin Williams is just how steady he is. And I love that he says, Michael, I'm not going to be somebody else. I'm going to come in here, and I'm just going to be Justin Williams. This is what I do. I can't change. I won't do all that. I think he is a perfect fit for that locker room.
Yeah, his composure, I think, struck me the most, not only in our discussion with him, but also in the bigger scrum, you know, with the TV cameras around him and questions about captaincy and ownership being thrown around. And he was very composed, you know, through all of it. He said all the right things. He's going to be a great addition to the locker room. He's got some personality to him, you know, as you heard. I think there's a reason.
Well, he wants to join the podcast again,
well,
right,
you know,
right then and there.
He's welcome anytime. But he's the perfect fit, you know, for the locker room. And the Hurricanes knew what kind of guy they were getting when they signed him. And he said it best. He's not going to come in and change who he is because the Hurricanes signed him for who he is. And that's all he can be. If he comes in and tries to change things, then it might not work for him or both sides. He's going to come in. He's going to be steady. He's going to be composed. He's going to provide leadership on and off the ice. And he's going to provide some points and some goals. And that's what the Hurricanes are looking for.
Also, he is not above trying to renegotiate getting a number or getting his locker back.
Yeah, I believe Lindholm is in.
Lindholm is in that stall. But if you've ever been in the Carolina Hurricanes locker room, now we get to take you inside the locker room.
Right.
With Michael Smith and Mike Maniscalco here on CanesCast, Episodes 5. So Episode 5, the offseason strikes back.
Sort of close your eyes and visualize the locker room.
Just take a walk with us.
Mm-hmm. Deep breath.
Visualize. You walk in, and you make a right, and it's a open locker room that you'd imagine in a horseshoe shape. And there's stalls to the right and stalls to the left. Well, Jordan stall to the left for sure. Bad pun, but I was going to go for it anyway. And then, you know, a row of lockers in the back. And along the top of the wall, there's like a little hang down from the ceiling. It's got pictures of, and when we say pictures, it's like a mural that goes all the way around mm-hmm. of great moments in Carolina Hurricanes history. And one of the greatest moments, of course, is with the Stanley Cup, the 06 team that won it. And Justin Williams is front and center in that picture. Every Hurricanes fan has seen it.
Right.
And it is right above a locker that Elias Lindholm now uses. That was Justin Williams' locker room stall. He's got to get that one. It's him. He can't sit anywhere else.
Well, yeah, judging by the jersey number switch, it appears Lindholm is open to bargaining.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll see come training camp where they're all situated.
And you know what? I don't know about you, but I know people become creatures of habit, but sometimes in locker rooms, you kind of want to move. You want to mix it up a little bit. Move around. Yeah. Explore the space.
Yeah. There a number of options are available. I don't know if he gets a choice. We'll see.
I don't know. I know Jeff Skinner's locker has moved, and he didn't seem too upset about that.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting dynamic.
It's a mess. Stay tuned. Locker Watch 2017.
Locker Watch, and we will pay attention for you. One thing about Justin Williams, what are your expectations for him on the ice? Because that's what everybody's going to sit there and say, this is what he needs to produce X. For me, he doesn't need to get 40 goals and 75 assists. That would be wonderful if he does.
That'd be amazing.
But I would say if he just does what he's done the last 2 years in Washington.
Yeah, 20 and what, 30 probably? Yeah. 20 and 50, 30, 20 and 40. 50-point
season. Perfect. Between 50 and 60 points. That's my expectation for Justin Williams this year.
Yeah, he's not being brought in to be the guy on offense. You know, he's being brought in to complement what's becoming a very talented top six that features the likes of Jeff Skinner, that features the likes of Sebastian Aho, Elias Lindholm, who we mentioned, who could take a step. Victor Rask, also looking to take a step this year. Jordan Staal. I mean, there's some talent in the top six, and he's coming in to complement all of that, not take over, because that's not what he does. He provides a nice compliment on the wing, and he's going to be a great addition for the Hurricanes.
Just a great guy, too, period.
Yeah.
You know, you hear that a lot, but Justin Williams is a person that you like to be around because he is comfortable with himself and he makes you comfortable.
And
he's a good guy.
The best CanesCast guest ever.
Without a doubt. He wants to come back. He wooed it. What for more now. Can we do? No, I'm going to go with, well, the way that this was recorded, maybe the only CanesCast guest ever. We got a few things, Michael, that we can kick around the National Hockey League. Possible rule changes. You know, the general managers are meeting right now and executive vice presidents and presidents about things that could be happening. Not a lot on the table, but one of them is no timeout after icing. As you know, a team can get a little bit tired, and then a coach will call the timeout. They win the draw. It's important. It works. It's, you know, some people will look at this. I don't think that this, to me, is something that needs to be put in place.
It's not going to change a lot. It's a minor rule change that maybe they think is going to have more of an effect than it will be. Let the coach call his timeout whenever. They get one of them a game.
Yeah,
just one.
If you had three timeouts, like in football per half, all right, now we're talking. Or we get one timeout a period. Maybe I'd say, no, you can't do that there. But you get one timeout for the whole game.
You get one, and it's gone if you use it on a challenge and lose.
Yeah.
So,
and you can't challenge if you call a timeout to make sure that you get your guys on the ice for an icing fresh. So it's a strategy part of the game.
Very strategic, and I don't want to mess with that aspect of the game. I don't think that needs to happen.
Yeah, the other thing is a power play stoppage faceoff due to a high stick in the attack zone by the offensive team. It's going to move the draw out of the zone for the team on the power play. Okay, fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, another small tweak that's not – I mean, if we really want to get to, like, the crux of the issues that they're trying to fix is to increase goal scoring, yeah, there are things like make the nets bigger, make the equipment smaller, yeah. You know, things like that, that – these small tweaks just aren't going to amount to a whole lot.
All right, so I've made you a general manager. Let's make ourselves commissioner for a day. Rule changes we would implement. Me, this is super easy, Michael. One, the trapezoid behind the net. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. If you've got a goalie who can go play the puck, let him go. Go play the puck. Because I love when goalies who think they can play the puck but can't go out to the corner and then they're in no man's land and, oh, thank you for the turnover. Here's an easy goal.
Oh, and that's a goal. That increases goal scoring.
That does increase scoring. Or at the same time, you get a goalie who's really good at handling the puck. He goes to the corner. He cuts it off. And you know what he's going to be able to do? Start a transition back the other way. Start a nice outlet pass. Get an assist. And we talk about player safety. You know what happens if you let the goalie play the puck? Then it goes into the corner. Your defenseman isn't going to get run. So that just makes too much sense to get rid of the trapezoid. I don't think I'm alone on that theory.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't really, I guess, bothered me, but seeing it go away, I would be completely fine with that, too.
The other thing for me is offsides.
You would get rid of it?
No.
Okay.
I would change what offsides is, how it's been implemented, because we saw in the playoffs, we saw towards the end of the year, how it just got out of control.
So, like, the nuances of offsides, like, if you can have control of the puck and, like, back into the zone. Because that got the Hurricanes. That resulted in a goal for the Capitals last season. And Kuznetsov had the puck, or so what was ruled. He sort of backed into the zone with the puck.
Because he had possession of the puck.
But I don't know.
It's because what you just said, I don't know.
Right.
It's a rule that should be black and white, right? It's offsides. It should be black and white. This isn't soccer. We're not going to have a little guy run up and hold up a flag because the defense moved up. Sorry, soccer fan who's listening. All of you. this goes into, I'm just saying that soccer offsides is arbitrary because you can run up and then put somebody offsides.
Right.
There's no lines to define it. There is a line to define if you are onside or offside. So I'm going to do this really quick. I'm going to put this out there.
If I like it, I can take it. And if not,
you can just send it right back.
Right.
So here's how I would define offsides. Mm-hmm. And I'll make it simple, because we saw in the Stanley Cup Finals that a skate blade was off the ice by a millimeter. Therefore, even though it was behind the blue line, therefore it was offside.
Yeah, that didn't make a whole lot of sense.
I'm going to clarify this. This is offside. Both skates have to be over the blue line in the attack zone before the puck gets there. If a player has both of his skates across the blue line, not up in the air, but literally across the blue line, meaning both of his skates are on the other side of the blue line before the puck crosses, that's offside. They want to open up scoring? You'll open up scoring by allowing one skate over, and then I'm lifting up my skate in a stride to cross the blue line.
Right.
You will allow that. It's very simple. Both skates on the other side of the blue line before the puck crosses, offsides. If not, play on, boys, and go score a goal.
What would happen if offsides just wasn't a thing?
You couldn't do
would
that.
Would it be chaos?
It'd be chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already people complain about, you know, the red line being taken out for the two-line pass. Chuck Caton, whose studio we're in.
Right.
Proud noise only.
Wow.
Thank you. He is the biggest proponent of bringing back the red line.
Yeah.
But you'd have to move the blue lines over. I'm just saying, I don't know how difficult this is, and I am using an example for Michael Smith to look at here in the studio. There's a line where we're recording from. This is the blue line, right? If I'm here, I'm onsides. The entire coffee cup I'm using, onsides. Offsides. There's no gray area.
Right.
That's it.
You're either across or you're not.
And this whole possession of the puck, well, I've got the puck, but I'm skating in backwards. No, the puck has to go in the zone first.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, the whole controversy in the Stanley Cup final stemmed, too, from them reviewing this certain play. So
It can't be more black and white, though, than both skates over the line, as opposed to, well, his foot's above the line with the one foot. But no, both skates clearly across, like the puck for a goal. And I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm kind of passionate about this thing, Michael.
Keep going.
But it's on a goal. On a goal, the puck has to completely be across the goal line.
Correct.
Completely across the goal line. So to be offsides, both your skates have to be completely across the blue line in the attack zone. It's not a hard concept.
Yeah. We probably aren't having this conversation if offsides is not a reviewable thing. Because
it takes 5 minutes to
because
review.
In real time, when the linesman is watching this play happen, he can't dissect all of these nuances that you're talking about. He can't freeze frame the play and see that, okay, one skate's on the ice, one skate's not on the ice. Does he have possession of the puck? He's looking at it. He's making a split-second decision based on years of training. If you take the review aspect out of it, it's the way it was in the however many, you know, all time before, you know, in the years before. It goes just back to the way it was.
Basically 95 years.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the nuances of offside. So maybe it's just that you don't tweak the offsides rule, you just get rid of the coach's challenges for it.
Oh, again, if you make the offsides clear, cut, and dry, you don't need a five-minute review as to whether or not both skates are across the blue line before the puck crosses.
Where you're looking at a screen the size of
a tablet.
A book.
Yeah,
trying
iPad.
To determine
if you are a millimeter off of the ice.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe just get rid of that review aspect.
Okay. I think you and I can meet in the middle right here.
Yeah, that's right. Fine.
But I put that out there. Is my idea that insane?
I don't think
so. Could you get behind that?
Sure.
There you go. Took us 5 minutes to solve.
Easy. We can make decisions.
I'm angry about that it takes so long to make a rule that should be black and white, and they've made it gray. That's what bothers me about that rule.
I think, and this is probably a whole different thing, but review, the process of
the review
reviews has made a lot of things gray. I mean, look at apologies to everyone listening for going on another sports tangent, but look at a catch in the NFL. That is the grayest of grays. I couldn't even tell you what it is. I mean, if you catch, there's so many intricacies, and if he does this but does this, then it's not a catch, or, you know, whatever. It's the process of reviews has made things so, you're drilling down and analyzing the very minutia of things when in real life these things happen in a split second, and the referees have been making fine calls for years and years. Okay. I mean, and human error is part of sport. It just is. But when you have human officials, when you have human referees, when you have human umpires, whatever it is, they're going to make mistakes, just like your favorite players are going to make mistakes on the ice, on the baseball field, on the football field. Everyone's human. Everyone
on the basketball
makes
court, not to ignore basketball or the soccer pitch. There,
sorry,
we
basketball.
Covered it all.
Or the curling sheet.
Ice. It's yeah. Ooh, well,
yeah.
Well done, my friend.
Everyone makes mistakes. So you're going to have this element of human error, and that's just a part of sports. I understand what review is trying to do and trying to eliminate that. And when you have a chance to get it right, get it right. That's completely fine. But when you're taking 5 to 10 minutes to look at a play that took, 5 seconds to happen,
yep,
and then trying to drill down whether or not the official made the right call there, I don't know.
Basically, the anger stems from something that should be black and white that is now made gray. That's it. There are certain things that we should be able to look at and say, that's a catch, or that's a goal, or that's offsides, and move on from there. And they've made it, like Mike has said, they've made it so confusing and muddied the water so much that I think people are now saying, okay, let's not review this review anymore and move on. But reviews will be coming up. I know Dunkirk, the movie, this week?
Ooh, I think so.
So you're excited about that. I went and saw a little film last night called Jaws.
Never heard of it.
On the big screen. I think it's going to have a big market.
You think it's going to be a hit?
I'm gonna call that one. Yeah.
And Steven Spielberg, is he a good, is
really?
He a,
you know,
up and coming?
For his fourth film? I'm impressed.
Right.
He's
got a bright future ahead
of him. Yeah, I think he's gonna go on to do some big things.
So look out for Steven Spielberg's films coming to a cinema near you.
Exactly, in re-release. But if you can get a chance, like for me, it's cool to go and see a movie that was released the year I was born. So I never had the chance to see it on the big screen. To see movies like that on the big screen, I like doing that. So.
On the big screen with an audience, too, because movie viewing changes immensely, whether you're alone or with an audience.
Yeah. Well, you know what's going to happen in this movie. Sorry, spoiler alert. They get the shark.
For a movie that's been out for
42 years.
Yeah.
But there's scenes where, you know, this line's coming or that's going to happen. And to see people still jump when they see the shark.
Right.
And when Roy Scheider delivers one of the better lines in movie history. You're going to need a bigger boat. The place started cheering. They started going nuts. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
That's kind
of
cool.
And watching comedies with an audience is probably one of my favorite things because the laughter is just contagious sometimes. And I remember seeing Anchorman in theaters for the first time. And I was just rolling. I don't think I've ever laughed as hard as when
old
I saw Anchorman.
Old school. I think the first hour plus of Old School, I don't know if I've ever laughed that hard at a movie. Although I will warn you, if you go see, like, if they rerun a classic movie, that can be tough. Because if you see Monty Python with people who love Monty Python, I want to see the guys do it. I don't want the guy dressed up as Tim the Wizard quoting the scenes.
Yeah, we don't need you finishing lines or anything. It's on the screen for a reason.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's Michael Smith. He's on the screen. He's in the air. He's on the stream. He's everywhere.
Accurate.
Thank you. I don't know what else. I'm trying to give you all these
the
titles.
The internet
here,
is everywhere.
That is true. And so, it's forever.
For now.
Well, that's what they tell us. That'll do it for this edition of the Canes Cast. Next week, it's in your hands unless we want to take a summer hiatus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're vacationing?
Yeah, just going away for a little bit.
So we'll figure it out.
All right. If not, we'll come back and we'll have episode 6. Return of the Maniscalco.
Exactly.
It all sets up any way we want to do this. Thanks to Justin Williams, our first guest and all around great guy here, our first guest of the Canes Cast podcast. As always, thank you to Michael Smith.
Thank you, Mike Maniscalco.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.